Welcome to Business as a Magical Practice, where your business is the vehicle for your self-integration and soul evolution. My name is Sam Garcia, and I'm the founder of Dirty Alchemy Digital Marketing. And I'll be guiding you through how you can use your business as a spiritual practice and what magical businesses are doing to hit their goals and change the world. Together, we'll be relating the mystical to the world of business so that our work can unite spirit and matter, shadow and light, conscious and unconscious. Let's dive in.
Everyone, welcome back to Business as a Magical Practice. So today's episode is a little different than normal in the sense that it is not necessarily business related, even though there will be business nuggets in here. And it relates to my business in a lot of ways, because if you are someone who's experienced anxiety or considers yourself an anxious person, then you know that that sensation absolutely is connected to your business. So this episode is about how I stopped feeling the sensation of anxiety in my body on a daily basis, or if we're using a more clickbaity name, it would be how I healed my chronic anxiety. And so I'm not a medical professional or a health coach or anything of the sort. This is 100% my own experience, which may or may not be relevant to you and your situation. So let me preface with that. It's more me storytelling and just sharing things that 100% changed my experience in my body and my experience with my emotions and the emotion of anxiety. And my hope is that this will help someone or anyone who experiences anxiety. But obviously, people have mental health issues or mood disorders for a whole host of different reasons, including trauma. So take it in like a rice strainer, where you're letting all of the, try the ones that resonate with you, try the ones that you feel like could be a pleasant thing to try and that would work for your situation, and leave the rest, or just enjoy the stories, my friends. Again, there may or may not be some nuggets of business advice in here, but it's mainly diet related things and emotional things and energetic things. And it does, like, I am going to talk a little bit about how my business structure has changed and my relationship with clients have changed intentionally in order to change my experience with anxiety. Okay. So I am really delighted to create this on topic, off topic episode, because I really actually love talking about health. It was one of the first biggest transformations in my life where it caused my spiritual awakening when I was 18, 19, was doing this like crazy detox stuff and doing vegan shit that ultimately didn't serve me in the long run, but absolutely caused a spiritual awakening in me. And also, as a kid, I had an undiagnosed food allergy that I didn't realize until I did all of the teenage detox stuff and realized that I'm allergic to chicken eggs and I'm allergic to chicken, and that all of my weird health issues as a child, including rashes and having stomach flus multiple times a year and all sorts of things, was actually caused by a food allergy. And it definitely impacted my immune system and all the things, but that's an aside. So absolutely, food and health and body related things has been a really big part of my journey. And I don't really talk about it because it's not necessarily relevant to you and your business, but I think you guys might enjoy all of these things, especially if you're someone who experiences anxiety. So in relation to anxiety, I had always considered myself an anxious person. I remember as a kid in school, like procrastinating and freaking out and being so worried about things and like doing competitive gymnastics and having like panic attacks and just being this whole mental side of things and this emotional side of things really impacted my life even as a child. And I didn't have a relationship with my mom from like age 14 to 20. And then having a really strong relationship with her now as an adult, it's interesting to see her and her patterns of worry and anxiety. And for me and my beliefs, like I do believe that that worry imprinted on me in the womb and in childhood. So that was something where I was actually taking on someone else's emotional patterning and trauma and took that in as the experience of normal in my life. So getting to the resolution in the last 6 months, I would say, maybe it's 9 months now, I have actually healed my anxiety, or what I consider to be healed anxiety. And I didn't even really fully realize this until a week or two ago, when it was my anniversary with my husband, and I drank too much. No, too much for me, like more than I normally do, in a way that I know impacts my sleep. And I woke up at 3 a.m. with this insane flood of anxiety in my body. And I was like, oh fuck, I haven't felt this in months. And having that stark difference between that being my normal for a long time to not experiencing it, to out of like seemingly nowhere, it just being my felt experience. And it was such this big, like, I need to actually share this with people. That's what inspired this podcast, because it felt like this light switch of I did the quote unquote wrong things, or quote unquote bad things for my body, just in a few hour period. And it caused me to experience anxiety, which I haven't felt in a while. And what anxiety feels like to me, and I know that everyone will feel this differently, but it feels like very much like a sensation in my chest and in my torso. But yeah, mainly like at the diaphragm, all the way up to the collarbones. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see me making hand gestures. And this feeling of tightness and stuckness, and like this huge nuclear energy amount of energy just stuck in my chest. And it absolutely puts me into this freeze response. So for me, it's often paired with a ton of thoughts, often worried thoughts and future tripping. And one of the things that really started moving this for me was when my husband, Eddie, when I explained what anxiety felt to me, like the sensation of anxiety, what it felt to me to him, he was like, oh, by your definition, I feel anxiety a lot, but I actually think of it as excitement. And because he's an athlete and does really intense things. And he's like, that sensation to me is actually excitement. And when I started having that mental shift of like, this could just be excitement, it actually allowed, and let me just say, I am really sensitive to the feelings in my body. So I'm going to assume that you can follow along with me. But if you are someone who hasn't really tuned into the emotions and the sensations in your body, like, I hope I don't lose you. But when I mentally switched the idea of this feeling in my chest is anxiety to this feeling in my chest is excitement, it actually allows the energy to flow out from beyond just the chest area. And just like, oh, it's actually an unlocking thought for me to feel the sensation and to allow the sensation to move instead of it being this freeze response. So I love using this mental reframe. And also, if you remember back into like the physical response that my body had of drinking too much and waking up in the middle of the night with an insane amount of anxiety in my body, like anxiety is also a physical thing, or like it's a dump of adrenaline and cortisol in your body pumping through your veins. So that can be caused by physiological things like your diet, but it can also be caused by thoughts. So, and just like that quick, this can happen on multiple different levels. It can happen from trauma. It can happen from your mindset. It can happen from your nervous system. It can happen from the food or the alcohol or the drugs that you're taking. Another interesting thing that I found out recently, so like after anxiety has been resolved, my friend, Dr. Rose, who was on the podcast just recently talking about sex and your libido and your creativity and your business, she mentioned to me the book, It's Not Always Depression. And there's a concept of a change triangle. And it's like this little diagram of a triangle. And one of the sides of the triangle are inhibitory emotions. And they were the inhibitory emotions by this doctor's perspective is shame, guilt, and anxiety. And they're not actually core from their perspective. Those are not actually core emotions that humans feel, but they're actually inhibitory emotions that is often covering up more core emotions that we're not allowing ourselves to feel. So whether that is sexual turn on, or that's anger, or that is peace and calm or excitement, where those are more core emotions, we can feel anxiety or shame and guilt as this inhibitory from feeling our core emotions. So I thought that was interesting. I found that out recently, but that wasn't like a part of my healing process. So let's get into the nuts and bolts. So physical things that I changed in my life that made a massive difference. First and foremost was a few years ago when I started realizing that food could impact anxiety, was I followed the I Quit Sugar thing. I can't write it off the top of my head. I'm not remembering her actual name, but she wrote, she owned the I Quit Sugar movement books, all the cookbooks and all the things. And then later wrote the book, First We Must Make the Beast Beautiful, which is an epic, I've talked about it on the podcast before. She talks about her own bipolar OCD anxiety experience and how she actually quit sugar because it actually helped with her mental health. So I started with, I just can't eat sugar, or I choose not to eat sugar for the most part a few years ago now. Then later on, and that absolutely made a difference, but not as big of a difference as when I found Karen Hurd's work. And she has the Bean Protocol, and which is, I mean, on the, you can look up her work. She has a bunch of online courses that are very accessible pricing that you essentially, you cut out alcohol for the most part, you cut out caffeine completely, because caffeine had, when I started actually limiting my, or changing my caffeine intake, that ridiculously impacted my level, my experience of anxiety in my body. And then she also has you eat no sugar, like cutting out sugar is a part of it, and eating beans. So like a half cup of cooked beans 3 times a day or more. And the idea behind this is your, and there's a ton of podcasts out there that talks about this. Luis Mejico, who I mentioned before, I took his Healing Trauma Through the Body course last year. He teaches this protocol in his work with healing trauma. But it's if you look at the biochemical side of beans, and I've also found like chia seeds and flax seeds and psyllium husk also work with this, where there's this insoluble fiber, like significantly more than any other fruit or vegetable or other or grain. The way that if you know how the biochemistry of anxiety in your body, like I mentioned, there's adrenaline and cortisol that go through your veins. And if you aren't eating enough insoluble fiber, it just ends up in your liver and then gets recirculated in your blood if you're not eating enough insoluble fiber. Because what insoluble fiber does is it attaches to, I wasn't expecting to explain this. I'm hoping I'm explaining this well enough for you to understand. But insoluble fiber, it goes through the liver and it binds with fat soluble things, which are hormones like adrenaline and cortisol. And if you have too much estrogen, and if you have like really bad PMS symptoms, like pay attention to this, and actually allows you to poop it out. If you aren't eating enough insoluble fiber, and again, beans, chia seeds, flax seeds, psyllium husk is like multitudes more than any fruit or vegetable that you could eat. If you're not eating that, then pretty much your body, your bloodstream will recirculate that through your bloodstream. So it'll be like, well, it didn't leave your liver, so I'm just going to put it back out through your bloodstream because it's not leaving the body. So that doing, like being committed to eating beans and chia seeds every single day has been really, really, really transformative to me. And I mean, she has like thousands of people that she's healed of from various things, not just anxiety, but like fibromyalgia and XYZ toxicity and blah, blah, blah. So check out her work. It's really epic. She has online courses, but it's Karen Hurd's The Bean Protocol. And people have written blogs and stuff about it. So you can also just Google it. Other physical things, cutting out sugar, I mentioned, but also cutting out coffee. And I cut out caffeine for a 6-week period. And that experiencing that, and I've introduced caffeine since then without a problem. I don't know the why behind it not affecting me negatively anymore, but it no longer affects me in the way that it's producing anxiety in my body. But actually not not consuming it for a period of time. And maybe it's just a body knowledge of like, you don't have all of this stuff, so we could actually flush it out. I don't know the why, but it did help me cutting out caffeine for, I think I did it for a 6-week period before I started introducing green tea and yerba mate and cacao back in. So cutting coffee was really, really hard for me. And I actually didn't start drinking it until I was 25. So it's only been, I'm 31 now. So it's been 6 years of drinking coffee. So not that much in the scheme of things, but I was still very physically and emotionally addicted to coffee. I'm saying emotionally in the sense that and I'll talk about business structure in a little bit, but because of the business structure I had, I was having to use coffee just to motivate myself to do certain things, which obviously is most likely a sign that something is wrong if you have to use caffeine or any sort of drug to motivate you to do something on a daily basis. One thing that really helped me cutting out caffeine was a brand called Rasa. I've mentioned them before, RASA, and they have coffee alternatives that have a ton of adaptogens in them, because I've tried cutting coffee and caffeine before and it was miserable. It like actually made me feel depressed and like the sparkle left life, which is really embarrassing to admit that like cutting out coffee would make me feel that way. But Rasa helped in it. This last time that I cut everything out, having Rasa made it so that life didn't lose its sparkle. And I think it's just because it supported my organs to actually function properly and not be depleted. So I recognize that some people aren't affected by food. I personally feel like that all highly sensitive people are affected by food, whether they realize it or not. I know for myself, as a highly sensitive person and not addressing food until I was 19, it became this night and day experience of like not realizing how much food affected me to being like, wow, just complete mind blown of how much. So figuring out if you have any food allergies, which often isn't possible unless you start trying to do elimination diets. There's a bunch of different people out there, coaches out there, programs that help you to do that. But yeah, I didn't even know I had a very serious egg allergy until I was 19. And it was because I experimented with vegan for a couple of years and then introduced an egg again and had an asthma attack and was like, oh fuck, like, okay. That's why I had quote unquote asthma as a child. So even if you don't think that you have a food allergy, if you're having certain symptoms, I would encourage trying out doing some sort of elimination diet, because we often don't know, because the symptoms are just so normal for us that we wouldn't know until it's removed for a decent period of time and then reintroduced. Again, all of this is my 2 cents in my personal experience. I am not a medical professional, not even a health coach. Okay, so some people enjoy pot and vitamins for anxiety, and that helps them. I'm actually too sensitive for either of those things. Like, if I take a B complex vitamin, I crash a few hours later. Like I have this huge surge of like crazy energy and then completely crash. So I'm too sensitive for a lot of vitamins that people take or supplements that people take for anxiety. And I've never enjoyed smoking, and I've tried doing CBD in the same sort of thing where like I crash a few hours later. And yes, I have tried even very fancy brands. So I've had to find these alternative things that don't involve supplementing, but instead actually going more foundational with like changing diet, changing habits, changing energetic practices. And yeah, as I mentioned, the 3 a.m. wake up with crazy anxiety a few weeks ago out of nowhere, it was because I drank too much for my body to be able to actually feel. And so like recognizing that there is this huge physiological component for some people with anxiety. But yeah, I mean, just having that experience reinforced that I have made so many strides, and the fact that I don't feel anxiety on a daily basis or on a weekly basis even. And there's very, very real things that I did to change that. So hopefully this is giving people ideas of what they can do and a little bit of hope. Okay. Other physical things that I've done, and this might be a longer episode. I'm just sharing my full story, you guys. Other physical things I did was, I know some people use exercise to manage anxiety because you're essentially using up adrenaline and cortisol, you're through hard exercise or running or like HIIT, it actually uses up the adrenaline in your bloodstream. So it's no longer going around. I found like that is not actually something that's needed for me, even though absolutely makes sense. If you're having a panic attack, do some sprints and see what happens just to use that up. And I think it's because of having all of these more, getting rid of all of these things that spike adrenaline and cortisol. So getting rid of the caffeine, getting rid of limiting alcohol, eating foods that are not like when you take out sugar, suddenly all the foods are more stabilizing instead of like giving you these like huge energy swings. I just haven't found the need to exercise in order to mitigate anxiety. What's been more important than that for me has been energy management and particularly energy clearing. So on a daily basis, I do breath work and I do energy clearing, and that's helped a lot. Again, I do recognize that I'm probably more sensitive than most people, but it has been something, doing breath work on a daily basis, doing energy clearing on a daily basis has been super transformational for my mental, emotional state and obviously energetic state. So every morning I do an energy clearing technique taught by Amanda Renee. You can check her out on Instagram. It's just Amanda Renee, R-A-N-A-E. I'm doing a training with her at the end of the month, which I'm really excited about because then I can actually teach clients the technique and do like actually do energy clearing with them. I'm like really giddy about it. So I do energy clearing that she teaches, which includes like cord cutting and specific breathing techniques in order to like ground your energy and clear your aura. And then I do Wim Hof style breathing. So really deep inhales, exhales, a bunch to really oxygenate the blood, and then breath holds. I don't enjoy doing it. Like I find it really annoying to do it, but it makes such a big difference that it's something that I can be consistent with. I also do 60 seconds of ego eradicator, which is a Kundalini breathwork thing where here, if for anyone watching on, you can get, if you Google ego eradicator breath on YouTube, it's really, really simple technique, but you do kind of have to see it because there's specific hand techniques, but I mean, it's essentially breath of fire. And then you're holding your hands, like your fingertips are on the pads of your hand. And then your thumb is out straight on both hands. And then you hold your arms up straight at like a 45 degree angle from your head. So if this is 0 degrees, that would be 45 degrees. And then you close your eyes and you breathe in and out through your mouth. And the emphasis is on the exhale. You guys should just Google this, but I'm explaining it. I'm halfway through explaining, so I'm going to keep explaining. The emphasis on the exhale. And okay, now we're standing up. We're standing up for the YouTube video. So here's my belly button right here. I am like this. I'm going. So you are, the emphasis is on, it's interesting because it's a Wim Hof breathing. The emphasis is on the inhale and it's just like a casual exhale, where the ego eradicator breath is an emphasis on the exhale and then a natural inhale. And then there's a whole closing for that breath. But those are things that no matter what, like I feel incredibly sparkly after it. That's my favorite way of explaining it, is just doing those breath, that breath work is, it just makes me feel sparkly. Like, oh, my energy is completely clear. And I feel like it completely changes my mindset, my thoughts, just moving my chair around. And then doing a grounding and energy clearing visualization, which is a guided meditation that I do. I'm really sensitive to energy. So doing that work on a daily basis has been really transformative to me. So if you're a sensitive person, I like try out doing breath work on a daily basis because it can change a lot. And there's plenty of studies around how specific breath work changes your biochemistry. So where a lot of people will focus on mindset and mental and like doing the journaling and like plugging into things, sometimes you just need to do some energy clearing and breath work and it can just get rid of it. Like, here's a hack for you. I'm not against mindset work, obviously, but sometimes it's just easier to do the energetic side of it. Okay, moving on to business structure. So things that I did for changing my business structure to support healing anxiety for me is I stopped people pleasing for my clients. And this was honestly really, really hard. I think it's a woman thing. I think it's a Midwest thing. I think it's just a lot of us, depending on what generation you grew up in. But actually healing people pleasing clients and realizing that no one was asking me to be a people pleaser. Like I was just doing it compulsively. So working with that was incredibly important because it would cause me to do significantly more than what the scope of work was, just because I was taking on the responsibilities of my clients when they weren't even asking me to, and they didn't need me to. Another big switch in the last 6 months was caring less about making more money and growing quickly, which can be counterintuitive because a lot, like, of course, all of us want to be making more money, right? Especially as business owners, but actually changing up my priorities so that making money was not my first priority. And instead, healing and finding peace was a higher priority than making money. And like, we still made a lot of money and continued growing, but actually in my mind, switching up those priorities was really huge. And this is like an internal shift. And I was really anxious about it. So really focusing on being content with my business now and thinking about my business as a 30-year relationship instead of like, I need to get to like my end result of my entire business and get hit all of my goals in the next 3 years or even in the next 12 months. Taking a step back, really grounding into my business is a 30-year relationship. Like it could even be longer because I mean, the way that I've set up my business, it is just this creative process that I can't imagine ever falling out of love with. So really being like, there is no rush in growing. What is more important to me right now is healing my body and changing my nervous system and my mindset so that it is supportive of me feeling peace instead of feeling anxiety on a daily basis. Okay. For emotional healing, I actually started feeling emotions as sensations in 2015. I did a lot of work with, not a lot of work. I've worked with Teal Swan. Who's a controversial figure in and of herself, but she's someone who's had a profound impact on my trauma healing over the last decade now. And so I'm a completion process certified practitioner. And I did that work back in 2015 of really working with emotions as this gateway to trauma resolution. So I started working on that back in 2015 and I honestly forgot about it, which is so funny because I started doing other shadow work techniques like existential kink and I started focusing on money mindset and like all these things. And we often forget about things that transformed us in the past. And then I did, as I mentioned, Luis Mejica's amazing course called, I think it's still called Healing Trauma Through the Body. Wait, I'm pretty sure that's right. But he essentially uses somatic experiencing of feeling the sensations in your body and without labeling them, without anything, just straight up experiencing the sensations in your body and allowing them to move if they want to, and practicing pleasure and practicing safety. Another big one on the emotional healing side of things was slowing down and going outside and using nature as a co-regulator. So I have a daily practice of every day I walk my dogs in the morning because they need to go for a walk and it's lovely. And we live right near the beach. Like it's a 4-minute walk to the beach. So I just take them out every morning. And during this change period for me, I realized like, okay, actually, instead of like just walking, I tend to be a fast walker, slowing down a ton. So walking really slow and actually using that time for somatic experiencing, for feeling the sensations in my body and just allowing instead of like holding, because a lot of us, we're just holding the sensations in our body when we like actually slow down and relax and breathe. We can help our body relax. We can allow sensation to move in our bodies and doing that on a daily basis and changing my walk time to being a date with my body, essentially. So I knew at least one time a day, I was actively relaxing and actively being in relationship with my body. That was a really, really amazing practice to start doing for me to actually allow sensation to move. Because as I mentioned at the beginning of this, anxiety for me is like this stuck energy in my chest, like tons and tons of stuck energy in my chest. So actually creating space, creating a habitual time to relax the body and allow sensation to move. And like bonus points, I was walking at the same time, so there couldn't be a freeze response. That was great. I also consciously, intentionally stopped stuffing my head with information because I identify as a lifelong learner. I love learning new things. I love listening to podcasts. I love taking courses. I love listening to audiobooks. I love reading, all the things. And I intentionally took a break from all of that and just like limited it down to the group program that I'm in, working with the coach that I work with right now. And instead, during that time period, either listened to nothing. So I would like often listen to podcasts while like doing the dishes. So like instead I would not listen to anything or listen to music, or I started listening to YA audiobooks. So complete fiction audiobooks that were fun and not the serious thing that I was trying to check off my to-do list. That has been huge. I still do that a lot. And I try to be, again, going back to my body of like, do I feel like I'm just trying to stuff information into my body? Do I actually need time to decompress, to let things out, and playing with the idea that I've already learned enough. So if you're a lifelong learner, like you might want to play around with this one. I've already learned enough. I don't need to read another book. I don't need to stay on top of what this podcast puts out every week. I've actually already learned enough. And this, of course, here's a nugget for business. This will actually encourage you to be creating your own intellectual property and be channeling your own genius into the world, because you're not just stuffing your brain and stuffing yourself with other people's thoughts and ideas. So leave that. Just hand that over. Try that one out. Another thing that I noticed was that showers for me changed everything so quickly. So actually using showers as a time to cleanse. And whenever I would feel stuck or weird or anxious or worried, I would choose to take a shower, and that would actually shift the energy for me really quickly. So try that out. And okay, I'm on to the last of my notes. I don't know how long this ended up being, but I love talking about it. I hope you enjoyed. So circling back to what I mentioned at the beginning of this episode is actually believing that anxiety is a sensation was really huge in and of itself, because I used to make it mean that something was wrong. Oh, I'm feeling anxious. It means that I have to be afraid of something. It means that my body is trying to tell me that something is wrong, or I forgot something. And I noticed throughout this journey that there was this attachment to feeling worried, because a part of me thought that if I stopped worrying, then I would forget something important. Like a part of my brain believed that worry was beneficial, because if I didn't worry, I would forget something. So shifting that was super, super important. So for me, switching from anxiety is not an indicator that something's wrong. It's not actually really emotion. Instead, thinking of it as a sensation. This is a physical sensation often caused for me by ingesting things that push me off balance. So reframing that in my head of what anxiety actually meant, really, really big. And let me know if that resonates with you. I found it to be really powerful of anxiety is a physical sensation often caused by ingesting things that push me off balance. Okay. How does that feel? Because me drinking too much that one night pushed my body off of balance and made it so I had weird hormones going through my bloodstream instead of being in a balanced state of being. And final thought is, and I've been on a human design kick lately, so really enjoying human design things and contemplating and experimenting with human design. And in human design, I'm a manifester. And one of the things that supposedly manifestors are ideally supposed to feel when they're living their design is a sense of peace. And then for generators and manifesting generators, it's satisfaction. I think projectors, it's success. They feel success. That means they're in alignment. Then it reflectors are like curiosity or surprise or something fun like that. But as I was sitting with the idea of if I'm aligned, I'm meant to feel peace, and what a seductive feeling that is for me. I don't know if it is for other people, but for me, like feeling like, oh, I'm meant to feel peace all the time or a lot of the time. It's just like, what a gift of permission that is, what a permission slip that is of actually, if I'm not feeling peace, something actually needs to shift or something in my brain needs to shift because it means I'm not living my design. And so prioritizing feeling peace on a daily basis. So instead of where I used to like do journaling or whatever for money mindset reasons, so like to increase prosperity in my business and revenue in my business, instead being like, I'm going to have my daily practices promote more peace in my life. Like what relaxation and grace that gives me to feel. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes. I want to be talking more about human design on the podcast, actually, because it's been like a fun little thing I've been getting more into. But anyways, that's the end of my download on how I healed my anxiety, healed my chronic anxiety, or at least stopped feeling anxiety on a daily or weekly or even monthly basis. And we went through the physical, so that's diet, and we went through the energetics and practices I do with breath work and energy clearing and visualization, went through some business structure things, and I think that's it. Let me know if you experience anxiety or used to experience anxiety. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear if you have any other things that really helped you in the process. And have a good week. Talk to you next Thursday.